But we serve and worship an awesome God. And He is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. Certainly we thank Him for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. I say without hesitation, God is good. And it's good to be alive and active. For it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Thank you, Lord, for another day's journey. And I'm glad about it. Hallelujah. Come on, if you got a praise in you, you ought to get it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed. Come on, you ought to look at somebody and tell them, it ain't no harm to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. It ain't no harm to keep your mind stayed. You're in the shop as you drive along in your car.
I woke up this morning with my mind.
It was Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 for your hearing. And we'll be preaching from verses 1 through 17. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If you have it, say amen. If you're still looking for it, say wait. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Look at someone, if you will, and say, set your affection on high. Look at another, if you can, and say, set your affection on high. Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience. Set your affection on high. Amen. That's what I want to talk about. Set your affection on high. Paul, the penman of this particular epistle to the church at Colossae, commanded the believers of Christ to have right perspective, to set their affection, their desire, their craving on things above. What you desire and crave after determines the course you take. It determines the path that you trod. He writes to remind them of their position in Christ and their perspective of their position in Christ. It is chapter 2 that Paul deals with being dead to the world, yet being made alive unto God. All of us that are in here can testify to the truth of Paul's writing in chapter 2, because we were dead in trespasses and sin. But God has quickened, has made us alive in Christ. And being that we are alive in Christ, He commands that we live like it. That we live this new life, that we live with right perspective, that we live with our eyes on heaven. He calls for us to examine ourselves to see what our minds have been focused on, what our minds are focused on now, and what God wants our minds to be focused on. So He gives an opportunity to examine our own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God the Father. And He calls us to live the high life, to live the heavenly life. Living the high or heavenly life is to live life like Jesus lived. Jesus came to express unto us and to be an example for us in how we are to live in accord and in oneness with God the Father. He came to bridge the gap. He came to be our example. He wants us to live like Jesus lived. And we can be on earth and still live like Jesus lived. Jesus taught in the model prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." I got a call one morning some years ago by a preacher, and he asked, he says, "Well, man, how are we to live like heaven in earth when we have never been to heaven?" I told him, I said, "Well, we haven't been to heaven, but heaven has come to us. Because Jesus came down from heaven and He tabernacled among the human predicament for 33 and a half years. And He busied Himself doing the will of His Father." He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy authority come, thy rule come, thy will be done as it is in heaven." So our minds should be on God and the things of God. We're too distracted. As people of God, we barely have time for God. And we have God somewhere down the list of things to do. God is no longer priority. We are too busy for God. But our minds should be on God and the things of God. Listen, if we're going to live this high heavenly life while we're on earth, Paul, he gives three things that we should do to live according to the command of God, the word that's given in this particular pericope. Notice, first of all, if you're going to live the high and heavenly life, you need to position or be positioned in Christ. And being positioned in Christ is a fixed position. Notice what Paul began with in chapter 3. He began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says, "Set your affection on things above." And he begins with belief in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Listen, if you can't get past that, then you don't have a settled mind on heaven. You don't have a settled mind for the high and lofty place. You don't have a settled mind for God. If you can't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, Jesus died a physical death. His life left His body. His lifeless body was laid in a tomb. But on the third day, the life of Jesus came back into His lifeless body. And He became a living soul. His death, burial, and resurrection, we celebrate it because it's the pinnacle. It's the summit of our faith. It's the means of salvation for the loss. He says we believe in the sacrificial atonement of Christ. But in verse 1, a clause, he says, "If then you were raised with Christ." You were raised. If then, if then. If it's not a statement of possibility, it is a declaring of spiritual truth. If then. What Paul is saying is, if you are a Christian, the life of Christ Jesus has come into you. The life, the Spirit of Christ has quickened you. You are no longer a dead being spiritually, but you have been made alive unto God. He just says, in Christ, we were buried. When he was buried, in Christ, we were raised when he was raised. That's good news. That I wasn't back there 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. But by faith. See, he didn't die just for the people of that time, of that era, of that age. He died for all people in the world. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He died for everybody of every age. So I wasn't there 2,000 years ago when he hung on that cross and died on that cross and he was taken from that cross. But I was able to participate in his death, burial, and resurrection by faith. By faith. By faith I'm put there. By faith I participate in his death and resurrection. Notice Galatians. Paul in Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, it is no longer I. Now, the problem with putting the Lord first and being positioned in him is the I. Most people won't admit that they are in their own way. And they live life blaming and, you know, complaining about others. But the truth is, you are in your own way because this thing is personal. See, you're not saved through somebody else's faith. You know, I think I told you that God doesn't have grandchildren. You know, you're not saved by mama's faith and daddy's faith. You're not saved by grandmother's faith and granddaddy's faith. You're not saved by uncle or aunt's faith. You're not even saved by your brother or sister's faith. You have to believe for yourself. And when you believe, he positions you. He fixed you. I'm fixed. Anybody else can claim that this morning? I'm fixed. I'm fixed. I'm positioned in him. Now, understand, when you are positioned in him, then that position requires a perspective. So the believer is positioned in Christ, but then the believer has a perspective in Christ. Verse 2, C clause and D clause. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now, Paul clarifies what he means by things above because he says, set your affection. Fix your affection on things above. And he says, where Christ is. And he tells us that Christ is at the right hand of God. Now, when you're reading the Bible and you come across the right hand of God, it denotes the omnipotence of God. It helps us understand just who we are dealing with. Now, he's not just a God. He is the God. He's God of gods and Lord of lords. He's God with all power in his hand. Oh, he's God with power to still storms. He's God with power to heal the sick and the sick recover. He's God who can open up blinded eyes or make some eyes so the blind can see. He's God who can put walking back in your legs, put clapping in your hand. He's God who can put himself on your mind to make you think about his goodness. He's not just a God, but he's God with all power. It deals with the omnipotence of God, the all-powerfulness of God. God has all power. God has all power. God has all power. He didn't just get all power. He has always had all power. He will always have all power. He's never limited in his power. He says, Christ is at the right hand of God. Watch the text, because he deals again with the position to give us perspective. Because we are positioned in Christ, and Christ is at the right hand of God. Christ, in Christ, we are at the right hand of God. Oh, he has all of his power on our side. Isn't that good news? Listen, when you understand that, when you have perspective of God and what you have in God because you are in Christ, you don't fear. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to be troubled and worried. When you understand that you are at the right hand of God and all of God is on your side, that's why you ought to shout when you hear, no weapon formed against you is able to prosper. That's why you ought to shout when you hear, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You ought to shout when you hear that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're at the right hand because you are positioned in Christ, and it gives us perspective. When you know you're a champion, you walk like a champion. When you know you're a champion and a winner, you talk like a champion and a winner. I don't understand how some people can be on the lower side but have their heads hung so low and can't hardly speak and afraid to live. Listen, when you know that you are on the Lord's side and the Lord is on your side, you ought to strut your stuff and let people know that you are on the Lord's side. You have perspective. It does something to your mind. It alters your thinking. Uriah R. Thomas, in his sermon, The Christian's Higher Life, said, we can only seek heaven, but we must think heaven. Not only think heaven, but love heaven. Your life cannot rise to the higher rim of itself any more than a bar of iron can lift itself without looking up, seeking up, and setting up the mind on things above. There is no higher life and higher living. You can't live above your thinking. As a man thinketh, so is he. And maybe, just maybe, the reason you're looking down and looking pitiful is because that's the way you're thinking. Listen, when you know what you have in Christ, Christ is the magnet to uplift your nature. Love him, and the love of him lifts up. Y'all miss that. He's the magnet to uplift your nature. Love him, and the love of Christ lifts up. Listen, the more you know and think on what you are and what you have in Him, the more you think on the love of Him, the more you ought to sing and shout. It's lifting of the spirit. It's uplifting of your soul. It lifts up. It gives us perspective. It gives us a position. But then He deals with the practice. Because belief, faith, without works, is dead. So, there should be practice. Watch Him now. In verse 1, because He says, seek those things which are above. Since we are raised in Christ Jesus, we are commanded to seek those things which are above. Notice the word seek. The word seek means to go about, desire, endeavor, inquire. It means to require, aim at, strive after. And the word seek is in the present tense, which means it's a continuous action. So He's giving a command for us to continuously seek after the things that are above. Present tense, imperative mode. He gives a command that it's not a suggestion. It's a command that if you're going to live the high life, you have to set your mind on the things of heaven. It's hard. You know, we shout about it, but it's hard. It's hard because we live in a world of evilness and wickedness. It's hard because there are two natures on the inside of us. Y'all don't have to say nothing. That Paul, the one who penned this, he admits that even of himself, that life on earth in Christ is a struggle. That when we desire to do good, evil is always present. And the good that we would do, we don't. And the evil that we don't want to do, that's what we find ourselves doing. We want to set our minds on things above, but there's a wrestling match. There's a war going on the inside. Listen, and I don't care how long you've been saved. You hadn't graduated from this. Listen, I don't care, you know, what your physical condition is. You still have not graduated from this war that's going on, because you may not be able to do it, but you're still thinking it. Oh, come on, y'all, help me preach. Yeah. You may not be able to go to some of the places you used to go, but you think about them. You may not be able to do some of the things you want to do, but you're thinking about it. You say there's a wrestling match. There's a struggle going on the inside. So it's not easy, but He gives a command to continuously seek the things which are above. Now, if you're going to seek things which are above, he says that there are some things you're going to have to put to death. He uses the word mortify. Mortify the deeds in verse 5. Which means to put to death. We hadn't crucified it all. Some things we have not put on the cross yet. We don't want to turn it loose. Y'all come on in here. We act like we have let it all go. We act like we have crucified and have killed. And we act like we are the perfect saint. We act like we don't have any fault and failure. That's why we can't relate to a whole lot of people, because only they are wrong. And us over here, right? Come on, talk to me if you will. He says there are some things in your life that you need to put to death. You got time for me to list some of them? He gives a listing of things in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, we are commanded to put to death sexual immorality, premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, and bestiality. In verse 5, we are commanded to put to death impurity, spiritual uncleanness. Verse 5, we are yet commanded to put to death the passions and cravings that distract us from the things above. Verse 5, put to death evil desires, wanting things that are wrong for us to have. Verse 5, he says that we are commanded to put to death covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 8, he says, put off that bad attitude of yours, that anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your mouth. And in verse 9, he says, stop lying. Be a truth teller. And he says that we need to put off all of these things so that we can put on. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. We can put on the knowledge of Christ, which is mentioned in verse 10. He says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Well, there's neither Greek nor Jew. He talks about putting away ethnic prejudices and social prejudices. He says, not only should we put away the prejudices, but he says, put on therefore, in verse 12, the elect of God, being the chosen of God, being the people of God, who are holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, come down out of the clouds. Come yourself back to earth. Bring your head down some. You know, some heads are so high, if it rain, it'll drown them and kill them. He says, humility, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. And listen, he says, when you got all of that on the inside, you ought to be able to deal with other people. You ought to be able to tolerate. You ought to be able to put up with some other people, because the truth is this, other people got to put up with you. He says that we should forbear one another, forgive one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He says above all these things, he settles with love, which is the bond of perfectness. You got to take off and put on. And he says, if we take off and put on, we'll live the high life. Listen, you got to learn how to live. If you have not already, you got to learn how to live the high life. He didn't call us to low living, to high living. And listen, sometimes you're going to have to cut some folks off and let some folks go because they've refuse to fly as high as you need to fly. You know, it is said if you're an eagle, you can't get caught in the barnyard with chickens and roosters. High life. Because you're in Christ. And being in Christ denotes the position. I'm fixed. I don't have to worry about Satan, sin, sickness, storms. I'm fixed. I'm fixed. That position is permanent. But then I have right perspective. My thinking has to line up with my position. That I'm in Christ and all of heaven is on my side. That it's going to work out. I can't lose. Because I'm on a winning side. And it may be troublesome. It may look bleak and disturbing. But I got perspective. That I'm only going through a process. And at the end of the process, I win. That's why I smile all the time. Let me see y'all smile. That's why I smile all the time. Because I'm a winner. And I may be in some trouble as it relates to man, but I'm a winner. And I can't lose because my perspective is right. But then he talks about the practice. I'm doing my best to live my life for the Lord. That's all required of you. It's for you to do your best in living your life for the Lord. Now, your best is not making excuses. But your best is to yield your life to God for God's use. For his purpose. For his glory. I'm doing my best. I may not get it all right. But I got that settled with God already. Y'all just missed that, didn't you? I may not think all right. But I got that settled with God already. I may not speak that which is right all the time. But I got that settled with God already. That I'm positioned. Even with my mess ups, I'm positioned. I'm positioned. Y'all help me preach. Look at somebody saved and tell them you positioned. Oh, yes, you are. Come on, put that Baptist finger at them. And put some grit in your teeth. You positioned. Adjust that mind. Adjust the mind. So you can live that high and heavenly life. And when your mind is adjusted, the evidence will be in your practice. People will know that there's something different about you. They'll know that Jesus is in your life and he's ordering your steps and he's blessing your life. And if the Lord is blessing your life and ordering your steps, you are living the high and heavenly life. Everyone to your feet if you will. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. How to do that? By simply believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ that He is the Son of God who came down from heaven to earth, died a sacrificial death to atone, to bring us at an one-ment with God. He took care of the penalty and power of sin. But we still grapple with the presence. One day, He's coming back to deliver us from the presence of sin. There is no sin in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place. Place of God's absolute undisturbed presence. Listen, if you believe in your heart that Jesus died, He was buried and God raised Him from the dead, and you can confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Come if you need salvation. Secondly, if you're here in need of restoration, the altar of the Lord is open. He's married to the backslider. He's married to you, but as David, you can't feel the joy of your salvation. You can have it and not feel it, because you have walked away. You have allowed space between you and God in fellowship. He says, come and He will restore you. Come. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home, you're saved. But the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart as a place and people of partnered worship, partnered intake of the word, partnership in prayer, partnership in spiritual growth and nurture. Partnership. Come. You can come today by letter. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on, if you need salvation. Come on, if you need to be restored. Come, if you need a church home. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come, come. Come on, come on. As the choir is ministering to you, come on.
Oh my. Give myself away. So you can
come on. This is your opportunity, your day, your chance to get it right with the Lord.
Give myself
Listen, listen. Can you all acknowledge that this morning your life is in His hand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank You for Your divine presence, Your divine manifestation. For truly, You have been a God in our midst. Thank You for Your word, the power of Your word, permanence of Your word, that Your word lasts forever. Even if heaven and earth passes away, Your word stands forever. Thank You for giving us foundation, giving us knowledge of our position and perspective, which should be our practice. Lord, we covenant with you and we pray and ask you to give us strength, even in the midst of opposition, in the midst of satanic attack. Help us, Lord, not whimper in our faith, but to stay strong in our walk with you, to bring glory to your name, to exalt your kingdom in the earth. For we pray as Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, Lord, as we make ready to leave this place, but never your divine presence, Lord, we pray and ask of you that the love of Christ, Lord, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that it will be with us now, henceforth and forever. That we'll leave this place, but never your divine presence. That you will always be a present help in our time of trouble. And you know that we trust in you. Thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Every heart say amen. Be blessed today. Be blessed today.
It's not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow.